Hey, this is Pastor Garlock from First Christian Church in King City, Missouri. We're glad that you found our podcast, and we pray that the contents of this podcast are a blessing to you and to yours. Enjoy. Intended series that God laid on my heart several weeks ago, and I thought it was just going to be this one-time message and move on, but the Lord just keeps laying more and more from this passage of Scripture on my heart, and so I want to be faithful to what God has to say to us. Luke 24, verse 44 through 51, if you have a Bible. Luke 24, 44 through 51. As you're turning there, Scripture tells us to give honor to where honor's due. And it is such a blessing to have Sister Sue Walters with us this morning. She is a faithful woman of God. And make sure and greet her before you get out of here. I'm so grateful always to get to visit with her. She's an encouragement to me. She tells me that she prays for me, and I believe it, and I appreciate Sue so very much, so it's good to have her with us this morning. The Gospel of Luke chapter 24, verse 44 through 51. Then Jesus said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all these things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And Jesus opened their understanding that they might comprehend the Scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Verse 51. Now it came to pass that while Jesus blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. We call that the Ascension. In the church, on the church calendar, we celebrated Ascension Day this past Thursday. But really what the Lord laid on my heart when he first brought this Scripture to my mind was this statement, "You are witnesses." All right? So we've called this series of messages, "We Are Witnesses." And the first thing that we learn from this passage of Scripture is that we are witnesses that all of Scripture, all of what we call the Holy Bible, point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. When St. John introduces Jesus to us in his gospel, he says that Jesus is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we believe that all Scripture finds its fulfillment and climax in the person of Jesus Christ. That all of the law of Moses, all of the prophets, all of the Psalms pointed us to this climactic moment in history when God became flesh and dwelt among us, who lived sinlessly, who died innocently, and who rose victoriously. That all Scriptures are pointing towards the living Word of God, who is Jesus Christ. So when I want to know what God is like, I don't look to Job, I look to Jesus. Amen. When I want to know what God is like, I don't look to Jeremiah, I look to Jesus. Amen. But I want to know what God is like, so I certainly don't look at the life of David. Come on, somebody. You all look asleep. Let's wake up. I look to Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. Last week, we talked about these three words: ransom, repentance, and remission. And I'll just remind you before we get into today's message that ransom is the act of bringing back. That as we sang this morning, Christ defeated death by death. Right? I said it last week. I think it's good enough to say again this morning that death could swallow the humanity of Christ, but it could not digest the divinity of Christ. And on the third day, Christ rose victorious, and he bought us back. He brought us home to God. Through the death and burial and resurrection, you and I have victory through his name. And Paul declares, as we declared this morning, "Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory?" And we can declare that too, as sons and daughters of God this morning. We talked about repentance. And remember, we talked about repentance helps us to understand that we are forgiven people. that the words of Jesus from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Those words are for you. Those words are for me. And in Christ, we find forgiveness. But he doesn't stop with the work of forgiveness. But it continues on to set us free. And that's what remission is all about. Remission is our freedom to live as the people that we are created to be. Sin would keep us from that. Sin would keep us from the promises of God. Sin would build a wall of hindrance between us and God. But Christ has set us free from the power of sin in our life, that we can be the children of God that we were always meant to be. And I like that word, remission. I didn't talk about this last week, but you guys look bored already, and we just started. So I'm just going to say whatever I want today. I just decided. I like that word, remission. Let's slow it down. Remission, right? That God created mankind with purpose and on purpose. And we lost that purpose in sin, but we have been remissioned. Come on, somebody. We have been remissioned through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ to be the people that God has created us to be. Go ahead and say amen right there. All right, let's pray and then we'll talk about it. Father God, thank you so much for bringing us together today. Thank you for your people that are gathered here. And thank you for your goodness to us. Lord Jesus, you are the reason that we're gathered here today. You are our hope. You are our life. You are our Savior and our King. And I pray that if nothing is accomplished today, that Lord Jesus, that your name would be lifted up. Because as you are lifted up, you declared that you would draw all people close to yourself. Anoint my lips to say all the words that you would have me to say. And I pray all these things in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said, amen. Point number three in this series of messages, we're finally to the title. We are witnesses. I want to make it personal for you. I know it's plural on the screen, but I want to say this. You are witnesses. You are witnesses. This is what Jesus says in our passage in Luke 24:48. And you are witnesses of these things. That English word there, witness, it's the Greek word martus, and it's where we get our English word martyr from. But the gospel writers were wise enough not to say you are martyrs, because they know that would have scared us off, right? But truly a martyr is just one who dedicates or gives his life for what he has seen or what he has heard. This is the way that the Apostle Paul talks about it in the book of Acts chapter 22, verse 15. For you will be a witness for him to all men of what you have seen and what you have heard. You will be a witness to all men of what you have seen and what you have heard. And when I looked up this word seen in my Greek dictionary, that word seen that Paul uses there is a Hebrew word that snuck into Greek. It's a Hebrewism, is what my dictionary said. And it means to experience and to perceive. That you and I are witnesses of what we've experienced and what we've perceived. And I was thinking about this yesterday, and I wasn't thinking about the message. I don't know why it came to my mind. It just did. But I was thinking about my journey with Jesus, my life, and my faith. And I've been in church my whole life, right? I've heard the scriptures. I've heard the sermons. I've sang just as I am just as many times as everybody else has. I've walked the aisle, and I grew up in a Pentecostal church, so I walked the aisle, and I ran the aisle too. And as I was thinking about my experience in God, that's why I'm standing in front of you today. I want to say this, and this might seem dangerous to some of you, and that's okay. But I don't follow Jesus because of something that I read in a book. I don't follow Jesus because of something that I heard somebody preach one time. I follow Jesus because I've experienced Jesus. Because I felt him. Because in the lowest parts of my life, I wasn't alone, but he was there. In the darkest night, I was never left and I was never forsaken. I follow Jesus because I am a witness that he has been with me every step of the way. And I might not have been able to see it at the time, but my friends, at almost 39 years old, I can look back on my life and say that God was there, that He's always been there, that He saved me from myself, that He saved me from others. Come on. That He saved me from myself, that He saved me from others, that He saved me from self-will. And even when I didn't listen to that still small voice, even when I kicked the door down that He had closed and went my own way, Jesus came and found me. Because He is the good shepherd that leaves the 99 to go after the one lost sheep. So I love the Bible and I love the Christian witness of other believers, but I'm standing before you today because of what I have seen and what I have heard, what I've experienced, the goodness of God. This is why I believe in the good news. Not because I've read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, hold the horse while I get on. Not because I've read the Gospels. I believe in the good news because I've experienced the good news in my life. So what am I trying to preach to you? I am a witness of the goodness of God. I am a testimony of the faithfulness of God. Not because I have been good and because I have been faithful, but because He is good and He is faithful. And if you have not experienced that goodness today, if you can't be a witness, you haven't seen and you haven't heard, today would be a good day to get started. Today would be a good day to turn your life and your will over to the care of the living Jesus Christ. You see, when Paul writes these words in Luke 24, he is giving his testimony that he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, a Jew of Jews. Paul says that a keeper of the law, he was perfect. Paul said, I never did anything wrong. But he was still dead in his trespasses and sins. And one day the good shepherd came to him. See, I don't believe that every road leads to God, but I believe that God will walk down any road to find you. Amen. I said, I do not believe. I don't believe in Oprah. I don't believe if you follow the light you've been given, one day you'll end up somewhere good. I don't believe that. But I do believe that God will walk down any road to find you. Why do I believe that? Come on. I'm a witness. I've seen it. I've heard it. So Paul is on his way to persecute the church, to kill Christians. And a bright light, Jesus, comes to the Apostle Paul. And those words are in red. Jesus says to Paul, why do you persecute me? See, even on his way to do evil, even on the road to destruction, Jesus finds Paul because Jesus desires to remission him. Come on. He desires to bring him home to the Father. You are witnesses. That word heard, but that was all seen. We got to move on. That word heard, I'm just rhyming today. I need to write a rap song this afternoon. I'll bring it to you next week. If I get it done, we'll just have a little show next week. That word heard, it means to give audience. It's to open up our ears. We are witnesses of what we have seen, and we are witnesses of what we have heard. It's one thing to open up your ears and hear of the goodness of God, but it's quite another thing to experience the goodness of God. I met with a young man a couple weeks ago, and he's a church kid, and he said, all my life I've heard God loves you. I've heard it all my life, he said. And he said, you kind of get numb to it after a while. Everybody's always telling you God loves you. And he said, you kind of get numb to it after a while. But he was a witness to me a few weeks ago. And he said, I've heard all my life that God loves me. But about a month ago, I needed to be loved. And I didn't just hear about the love of God. I experienced the love of God. It's one thing to open up our ears to hear, but it's another thing to experience. We are witnesses, my friends, of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say this, and I don't want to ruffle any feathers, but I got to preach to you what I believe, don't I? We are witnesses. Witnesses not of how to go to heaven when you die someday, but we are witnesses of the present reality of union and communion with God. Our mission is not to point people towards heaven. Our mission is to point people towards Jesus. We are not witnesses of the beauty of the afterlife. We are the witnesses of abundant life in the here and now. Oh, that was a really good way to say that. We are not witnesses of the afterlife. We are witnesses of abundant life in the here and now. We're not propagators of someday good news, right? Good news today. Not, oh, do you remember that song, man? It was a song where you would get emotional, but it wasn't the Holy Spirit. It was just a sad Christian song. And everybody would get up, and there'd be the old lady in the back waving her hand as a witness in the back. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Oh, my life's so hard. It's all such a challenge. It's all such a struggle. I want to tell you that we serve a God that is our ever-present help in time of trouble. That I'm not waiting for the sweet by and by to experience the goodness of God. I am a living testimony of the goodness of God right now. Right now. So I'm not a witness of the afterlife. I'm a witness of abundant life. Here and now. Somebody tweet that. Amen. We are witnesses. I want to say this last line again because I think it's important. Not just abundant life. Not just abundant life. But of the reality of union and communion with God. What if you could go to work tomorrow? What if you could be in your friend group tomorrow? What if you could go to school tomorrow as a person who is in union and having communion with God? We would call that being the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. Not a witness of what somebody can have after they croak, but a witness of the presence of God in the here and the now. Habakkuk prophesied of this before Christ came, and Christ fulfilled it. Habakkuk 2:14 said, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea." The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. How is that possible? How is it possible for the earth to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God? Well, let me tell you that 2,000 years ago, 10 faithful men locked themselves behind closed doors at the death of Jesus. Judas was dead. Peter was running around scared. He eventually came back into the fold. But 2,000 years ago, Jesus died, but was raised to life. And then those 11 turned into 120 in an upper room. And by estimates today, there's about 3 billion, billion Christians on this planet. And the knowledge of the glory of God is filling the earth as the waters cover the sea, because we are witnesses that through the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that the goodness of God has flooded the cosmos. That through the death, burial, and resurrection of the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, God has filled all things with Himself, that you cannot find a place where God is not. He has filled all things with Himself, and I am way more excited about that than you are. So let me say it again and we'll move on. Your life is a witness. And by your life, let me give some nuance here. By your life, I mean your existence. The fact that you live and move and have your being is a witness of the goodness and the faithfulness of God. And I needed to nuance that because I want to say this also. The way that you live is a witness. Your existence is a witness, but the way that you live ought to be a witness as well. That we live for Him who died for us, right? That I live for Him, that I'm faithful to Him, that I love Him with my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love my neighbor as myself. This is how I testify about the goodness of God. This is how I witness to what Christ has done. Christ is risen, and we are witnesses of this truth. I just feel like staying there longer, but I got to move on. We need to talk about Christ's ascension. Our passage ends with Jesus blessing his disciples, and then he is taken, Scripture says, taken from them. That doesn't sound like good news, does it? That sounds like sad news. Jesus was here, but then he floated off. One of the Gospels tells us that they just stand there gazing, like, when's he going to come back? But there's blessings that we find. There's intangibles that we find in the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing I want to point out to us, that through the ascension, one of the blessings is where Christ is now. The writer of Hebrews says it like this in Hebrews 1:3. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. And He holds the universe by the word of His power. That's not even the point of why we're utilizing this verse today, but can I read that again? Can you listen to these words? Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power. So I drove north of Des Moines the other night to see better northern lights. I thought the further north you go, the better it was. I don't know if that was true or not, but that's where I ended up. And by the word of His power, He holds everything together. All the beauty of the cosmos, all the beauty of created order. By the word of the word's power, He holds all things together. And that one, listen, after making, this is the end of verse 3, after making perfection, purification for our sins, He sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Christ ascended to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He sits now at the right hand of power. Peter said it this way in 1 Peter 3:22. He has gone into the heaven and is sat at the right hand of God with angels and authorities and powers having been subjected to Him. Christ today in the present reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Highly exalted, given a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. He is high and exalted. But I couldn't help but think, since the title of our message is We Are Witnesses or We Are Martyrs, I couldn't help but think of Saint Stephen, the first Christian martyr early on in the book of Acts. Stephen's big call is that he's a soup server in church. The old ladies can't get along in the early church. Everybody's fighting over food. Everybody's fighting over whose covered dish is the best. It's my broccoli casserole. No, it's my egg salad. Were those things kosher? Yeah, I think we're okay. Good thing I didn't say ham salad. We would have had to retract. And so they have to assign trusted men to serve food in church. And Stephen is one of these trusted men. But Stephen is not happy just to serve soup. He is a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he preaches faithfully the gospel, and the hearers of his message don't like it. And in Acts chapter 7, verse 54, Scripture says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. There's countless times, I didn't take the time this week, you'll have to forgive me, I'm not a good enough student. I didn't take the time this week to count how many times the New Testament says that Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Let me just give you a homeschool answer. It's a bunch. It's a bunch of times the Scripture says that Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So at the right hand, has anybody noticed since we moved this that these chairs are just the most ridiculous thing to have sitting there? Like, it looks good until you think about it. And when you think about it, it's like this. Jesus sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. But Stephen, the soup server, is a faithful witness. And he preaches the gospel. He's a witness of what he has seen. And he is a witness of what he has heard. And he's ready to give his life. And his hearers are cut to the heart. And they begin to stone Stephen to death. But the heavens open for Stephen. And he sees Jesus not sitting at the right hand of God, but standing. Standing to welcome the good and faithful servant home. Come on. Standing to welcome the witness back into the fold. Standing to welcome the one that has been forgiven and remission and is faithful to be a witness of the things that he has seen and the things that he has heard. One of the blessings of the ascension is that Christ is now at the right arm of power of Father God, holding all things together. I need to move on quickly, but I want to say the other blessing of the ascension is how Christ is using that power. The way that Paul said is Romans 8:34. Paul says, "Who is it that condemns? It's Christ who died and further is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who always makes intercession for us." Jesus is praying for you right now. Jesus is making intercession for you at the right hand of the throne of God right now. He is using his power to lift you up. He is using his power to pray for you. And the final thing I want to say about the ascension this morning, that the final blessing I want to talk about that comes from the ascension is who Christ has sent. Jesus said in the Gospel of John chapter 16, verse 7, "I tell you the truth, it is to your benefit that I go away. For if I do not go away, then the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Through the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God has been sent into the earth. That all we find in the Gospels is Jesus ever being one place at one time. So if he is with Simon Peter in Judea, he's not with John in Judea. Are you with me? We only see the embodied Christ in one place at one time. But now you and I, the witnesses of what we have seen and what we have heard, have the Spirit of Christ within us. Amen. That when you go to work at Altec tomorrow, that the Spirit of God is there with you. That might be hard for you to believe, but I believe it to be true. That when you go to school tomorrow, the Spirit of Christ is with you. When I go about my day tomorrow, the Spirit of Christ is with me. That Christ has ascended that he might fill all things with himself. And you and I now walk in the power and the commission of the Holy Spirit of God. Because he ascended, he has sent us the Comforter to live into the reality of what we were created to be. Amen. You are witnesses. And if you're not witnesses of the goodness of God this morning, we're going to take a moment and invite you to experience the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only a few promises in Scripture that tell us when God will be with us. One is when two or three are gathered in his name, I will be with there in their midst. The second is by the power of the Holy Spirit, that God unites himself to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the third way is through the table of the Lord. That Christ told us that when we take the bread and take the cup, we do it in remembrance of him. So as we kind of change the order of this service and get ready to move on, I'm going to ask you to turn your hearts towards the Lord Jesus Christ. If you need to experience forgiveness from sins, this is a perfect day to experience forgiveness of sins. If you need to experience freedom, maybe you know you've been forgiven, but there's still things in your life that you know are displeasing to God, you know are destructive, you know they're not the person that God created you to be, and you need to experience that freedom today. I believe with all my heart that God has freedom for you. Freedom to live as a witness of the goodness and the faithfulness of God.
Hey, it's Pastor Garlock again. I wanted to invite you to one of our worship services. We worship every Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. as well as throughout the week. We offer children's programs, Bible study, and small groups. We hope to see you soon here at First Christian Church.